Last week we spoke about a bunch of different cases where a person would not be able to bring the bikurim from the fruits that he has plucked, because we need asher tavi me'artzecha, it has to come from your land, and if it doesn't come solely from your property, from your land, we are not able to offer that as bikurim. Let's go a little bit further and get into a very halacha lemaisa discussion this evening. The Mishnah writes in Bikurim Mishnah Beis, ha'arisin v'ha'chakiros, which means when you have some sort of arrangement. There's somebody who owns a field and there's somebody else who does the work on the field, and they have some sort of arrangement of how much fruit you're going to take from the produce that I work on during the year. So either they make up a certain percentage from the fruit, or they make up that you have to give me 100 bushels of fruit regardless of what grows this year. You're obligated to provide this for me. So anyone who's in a situation like that, we assume that they would not be able to bring Bikurim again because there's something lacking there. It's not really your land. Some of it is yours, some of it is his. We don't really know what the arrangement is. Hasikriken. Hasikriken means somebody comes to you and says, either I can take your field or I'm going to kill you. So you don't have a choice. What are you going to say? Of course, you should take my field. You would save your life than to save your field. So in a case like that, also, if that person later on says, oh, well, by the way, I just got a nice field. Happens to be I held someone up to gunpoint in order to get that field, but now it belongs to me, so I should be able to take it. The Mishnah says you would not be allowed to use that because when I gave it to you, I was just trying to save my life. I didn't really want to give you that field. I didn't have das to be makne to you, and I hope that someday I'll be able to go to court and regain the proper ownership of my field. So again, you would not be able to bring Bikurim from that. Hagazlan, and this is what we're going to focus on tonight. Somebody who steals from somebody else. So that means you go into somebody else's field, you plant a tree in somebody else's field without permission. So we assume in a case like that, ein mevi'in me'osa atam, we assume you're not allowed to bring bikurim for that reason as well. Why? Because it says, reishis bikurei admascha. It has to be your adam, it has to be your land, solely your land. And in all these cases, there's something lacking. It doesn't really belong to you. The Yerushalmi in bikurim has a suffix. When we say that somebody who steals from somebody else, a gazlan, is not able to bring bikurim, what exactly are we describing here? What kind of gazlan? Well, there's two phases of gzela. There's one kind of gzela where I walk up to you, I pull your cell phone out of your hands. So, have you given up on that cell phone? No, I just pulled it away from you. You hope that, you know, we'll argue it out, we'll figure it out, you're going to get it back. So that's called gzela velonis yashu habailam. That means you haven't yet given up on it. It means it doesn't yet belong to me. We have another kind of gzela, which is gzela v'nishashu habailam, which means I steal something from somebody, and he never thinks he's going to get it back. I'm such a powerful person, he never thinks he's going to get it back. In a case like that, we assume there are kinyane gzela. Now it actually belongs to me. I have stolen it, now I have an obligation of the heshev as a gzela. I'm obligated to return it. However, we assume it now becomes mine. So over here, the Rishami has the suffix. When we say that a gazlan is not able to bring bikurim, what are we describing? Are we talking about someone who steals, but the person hopes that someday they'll get it back, they have not yet given up on this field? Or are we talking about somebody who is in a state of nisyashu abaylam, he gave up on it already, and still we say you are not allowed to bring bikurim because it's not admascha, it doesn't really belong to you. I have kinyan gzela, once I stole it from you, you gave up on it, now it belongs to me. Yeah, it belongs to you physically, al pi halacha, but it's still not called admascha, and therefore you would not be allowed to bring bikurim from that. So we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that shortly. We have a very similar Gemara in Baba Basra where the Gemara writes, look at number Beis. Amar Ula, Ilan Hasamach Lemeitzar Besoch Tezayin Amma. Let's say I have a tree which is within 15 Ammas to the next door neighbor's field. Gazlan Huva Ein Meviyim Imeni Bikurim. The Gemara says there's a certain amount of area that you need to leave in between planting trees at the end of your property and planting trees in your neighbor's property. I don't want to steal from my neighbor. If I'm going to plant a tree right on the border, so again, we're not talking about where you plant a tree that goes straight down and the neighbor is happy with me doing it. We're talking about you're trying intentionally to take from the neighbor. So in a case like that, we assume if it's within Tezayin Amma to the neighbor's property, you are considered a gazlan, and you would not bring bikurim from such a tree. Why? Because it's not admascha. It doesn't belong to you the same way our Mishnah says. That's what Rashi explains in the Gemara. Why, when I have a tree that's very close to my neighbor, am I not allowed to bring bikurim? The same way our Mishnah says. Hagazlan ena mevi, because asher tavi me'artzecha, it has to be from your land. And over here, if you have a tree too close, it's not from your land, it's from your neighbor's land. However, Tosus on the daf there in Baba Basra quotes from Rabbeinu Hananel a different reason why you would not be allowed to bring bikurim in a case like that. Now, any other reason you're going to say sounds like it's going against our Mishnah. No? Our Mishnah says that a gazlan is not allowed to bring bikurim. Why? Because it's lacking in admascha. It doesn't belong to you. Ashtavim mi'artzecha. It's not mine. It has to be solely for my property, and it's not in this kind of case. Now, that is a parallel case in the Gemara Baba Basra, almost the same. You plant a tree right next to the border. So Rabbeinu Hananel says, no, the reason why you're not allowed to is because it's a mitzvah haba ba'aveira. It's a mitzvah haba ba'aveira, which seems to go against our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, we learn it from a pasuk by Bikurim. All of a sudden, you bring in a whole new idea of mitzvah haba ba'aveira. So that Rabbeinu Hananel is very difficult to understand, but I assume what Rabbeinu Hananel means is, you can't call that gzela, meaning our Mishnah is talking about real gzela. When I go into your property, I steal your tree, and now I want to go ahead and bring bikurim from the tree that belongs to you. That's a gazlan. That's not my artzecha. Doesn't belong to you. However, over here, says Rabbeinu Hananel, you can say it's not artzecha. The tree is growing in my property. It happens to be gaining a little bit of nutrients from your field. You can't say it's not artzecha. You can't say it's not anmascha. It doesn't belong to me. Of course it belongs to me. The only reason why I'm not allowed to bring bikurim is because it happens to be nibbling away from your property also. Not because it's not growing in my field, but because it's also stealing a little bit from you. So that, we say, would be mitzvah baba there. Perhaps that's why Rabbeinu Hananel says that reason over there, even though our Mishnah says over here. But once I saw that Rabbeinu Hananel, it made me wonder, what is the pshat in our Mishnah? What is the pshat in our Mishnah? Why does our Mishnah say that the reason why you're not allowed to bring bikurim, if you steal a field from somebody else, the reason why you're not allowed to bring bikurim is because it's lacking in artzecha, doesn't solely belong to you? Why doesn't our Mishnah say the famous principle of mitzvah baba avera? Rabbeinu Hananel's right. Isn't that the most obvious? We have to start making a drasha, ashatavi mi'artzecha. What do you need this for? None of us know the psukim by bikurim. Say simple, the klal that applies everywhere else, mitzvah baba avera, should apply over here as well. You go and you steal a field from somebody else, you steal a tree from somebody else, of course you can't bring bikurim. That is classic case of mitzvah baba avera. Why isn't that the reason that Mishnah gives? So what is this principle of mitzvah baba avera? That's what I want to discuss this evening. And then we'll get to the chiddush as to why it might not apply in our case by bikurim. It's a chiddush for your consideration, but we'll see if perhaps it's something that we can accept. So we begin with the Gemara in Sukkah Daf Lamed. The Gemara tells us that you are not allowed to take a lulav hagazel, and not only on the first day of Sukkot where you need shelachem, where it has to belong to you, even on the later days of Sukkot where the lulav does not have to belong to you, if you go and you steal it from somebody else, you're not allowed to use that for your mitzvah because we consider that to be a mitzvah haba ba'avera. That's what the Gemara tells us. Now, the Gemara there brings a pasuk in Malachi, ani Hashem sone gezel ba'ola, which means that if you go and steal an animal to bring it as a carbon, Hashem says, I don't like that kind of carbon. So the simple understanding of the Gemara is only if you steal an animal, only gzela falls under the category of mitzvah haba ba'avera. However, the Rishonim there on the daf already tell us that we extend this to other averas as well. If you violate a different avera in order to facilitate a mitzvah happening, we'll see in a couple of minutes what the parameters are, but if you violate an avera in order to facilitate yourself to do and perform a mitzvah, we assume that would be a mitzvah baba avera, even if it's not something that is gzela related, even if it's not stealing, if it's a different violation of an avera, that's also considered part of the category of mitzvah baba avera. On which mitzvahs exactly does this mitzvah baba avera apply and which not? Anything? I steal a pair of tefillin? Anything? Anything I do wrong? You consider that to be disqualified because of mitzvah baba avera? So this is a discussion that the Ritva has there in Maseches Sukkah. The Ritva has, I'm sorry, in Daf Tesa Maseches Sukkah, as well as the Ritva in Psachim and Daf Lamed Hey, quotes from the Bali Atosis as follows. They want to suggest, why is it that the Gemara in Sukkah learns that you're not allowed to use a Sukkah Gzula on Sukkahs? And we have to learn it from a new pasuk. Tosis has the kasha. Why don't you say mitzvah baba avera? What do we have to make up a new drasha? What are we working so hard to make up new drashas? Famous principle, mitzvah baba avera. You go and you steal a sukkah, you're not allowed to use it. Why do we need a new drasha? That's the question that the Ritva quotes in the name of the Bali Atosis. And the Bali Atosis answered, no. Because mitzvah baba avera only applies when you have a mitzvah which is ba l'ratzos. When you have a mitzvah which is coming sort of to appease the Ribbono Shel Olam, and it's coming to satisfy God Himself. For example, now I would have thought all of our mitzvahs do that. But as we know, we have some mitzvahs that are more liratzon than other things. So let's say the Bali Atosis has quoted in the Ritva, right, for example, offering a carbon. So a carbon is obviously liratzos. You're trying to appease yourself in front of Hashem. So in a case like that, that's where we say, mitzvah baba avera. If you steal the carbon and try to bring that out. Or, for example, lulav, he says, If you're using the Dalad Minim, which is also Ba L'Ratzos, which is not clear exactly where that comes from. Why exactly by shaking the Lulav is that L'Ratzon L'Fnei Hashem? Not clear, but they suggest that only in a case where it's Ba L'Ratzos, only somewhere like that do we assume that it would be a mitzvah of Abba Avera. But by any regular mitzvah, I steal a pair of tefillin, I do something of that nature, no problem. We assume that wouldn't be an issue of mitzvah of Abba Avera at all. And the Ritva totally rejects this idea. The Ritva totally rejects this idea because he says we have in the Yushalmi, let's say if I eat matzah shel tevel, if I go ahead on Pesach night and I use matzah, which we have not yet taken shumas and maisers off of, that is not considered a valid kiyum mitzvah of matzah. Why? Because a mitzvah of Abba Avera. That's what the Yerushalmi says. Says the Ritva, eating matzah is not l'ratzon l'fnei Hashem. That's just a mitzvah sachila that we have. But that's not l'ratzon l'fnei Hashem. And since we say mitzvah of Abba Avera, even in a situation like that, we would assume that mitzvah of Abba Avera is something which is a general principle. It's a general klal which applies by all mitzvahs, that if you do a mitzvah and the only way you came about it was by violating an Avera, that mitzvah is now disqualified and you get no points for doing that. So that's an important ritva to be aware of. My father always says the story that he had a Talmud who moved to Yerushalayim and he didn't know the rules in Yerushalayim. He didn't know that they have different chumers that we have here. And we don't always understand what the chumers are. You have to come accustomed to what they do there and what we do here. So his Talmud moved to Yerushalayim and he decided he wanted to take upon himself all the Hidurim, all the chumers, the first Pesach he was going to marry to Israel. He went to this very big matzah bakery in Yerushalayim in Mea Sharm, and he wanted to buy the most mehudadik of matzahs, and he didn't realize that part of the hiddur was that they're not mafresh challah for you. They leave everything as is, and they want you to have the kiyum mitzvah being mafresh challah, so they tell you, here's your matzahs, and they assume everybody knows if you're coming to pay the extra special price, it's because challah wasn't taken off yet. So his first Pesach, he didn't know that. He goes ahead, he buys these very expensive matzahs, and he eats them on Pesach, and it turns out he's eating matzah shel tevel. Turns out he wasn't mekayem mitzvah, mitzvah baba avera, and he had no fulfillment of the mitzvah at all. So we have to be concerned about these kinds of cases. It doesn't only mean when you go ahead and you steal something from somebody else. Sometimes the mitzvah baba avera is even when you're not thinking about it. Yeah.
Is there a time factor involved in mitzvah baba avera, meaning how quick it has to come?
So let's see. We'll see him in Chas Chinuch in a few minutes, but let's first build it up. We'll get there. So, number one, there's a machlokas harishonim. When we talk about mitzvah of Abba Avera, is this a principle that applies midaraisa, or is this something that is only midarabanan? That's a major, major machlokas harishonim. And, in fact, it's not only a machlokas harishonim, it's a machlokas in Baliyat Tosus himself in the same Masechta. Tosus himself in the same Masechta, in Sukkah Daf Lamed, and in Sukkah Daf Tes, totally go from one edge to the other on this very issue. Whether or not we should assume that mitzvah baba avera is a din d'araisa, or it's only a din d'rabanan. That midrabanan, it disqualifies what you're doing, but perhaps midaraisa, your mitzvah is going to be considered a bona fide mitzvah. So let's talk about the following. The Gemara says in Sukkah, lulav shel asherah v'shal ira nidachas. Let's say I have a lulav, I forgot to put it on here, let's say I have a lulav that is from an asherah tree. What does it mean? Lulav shel asherah means they served avodah zarah. And now that happened to be a palm tree that they served avodah zarah to, or shalir nidachas, you have a city. The whole city is serving Avodah Zarah. You're supposed to burn down the city, all the trees, everything. And now you go and you save yourself a lulav from that city that was supposed to be burnt down. It's asur b'hana. So in a case like that, the Gemara says that you're not allowed to use it. You're not allowed to use that for your mitzvah. Why? Because kesute mechtashire. A whole different reason the Gemara gives. It's not relevant now, but the Gemara comes up with a whole different reason why you're not allowed to use a lulav shal asher v'shalir nidachas. Ask the Baliyat Tosus a very obvious question. Why do you have to come up with this new reason, fancy reason of Ksute Mechta Shiure, whatever it is? Why don't you say the simple reason? You cannot use a lulav that comes from an asherah because it's a mitzvah of Abba Avera. This lulav tree, they served Abba Zarah to it, and Avera was performed by this tree. If you're going to use it now, that's a mitzvah of Abba Avera. It's a classic case. So why would you be allowed to use that, if not for the fact of Ksute Mechta Shiure? Why don't we have the idea of mitzvah of Abba Avera? If you hear from Mariv, It's in the main shul. Okay. You're going on the assumption that you understand the fancy reason of Ksute Mechtashire. Forgetting about that, Tosa says we have a much more simple reason to say. No reason for fancy things, just say simply. Mitzvah baba avera, your mitzvah is out. They served avodah zarah to the tree. You went and plucked off a lula from the tree. It's out. Forget it. You can't use it. That's Tosis Kasha. What? Oh, so that's also a question. Does it have to be my aver? What if somebody else serves avodah zarah to the tree and now I go and use it, which is probably the simple understanding. If I'm serving avodah zarah, I'm probably not going to go a few days later and also shake a lulav. So that's a good question. What? Yeah. Okay, so that's a separate issue. But over here we're talking about mitzvah of avera, not mitzvah lav lahenas nidnu. So this is the question that Tosis has. Number two asks Tosis, why does the Gemara say in Pesachim, daf lamed hey, not like the Yerushalmi? The Gemara says, matzah shel tevel is not allowed to be used because we have a drasha and a pasuk, a whole thing. Mitzvah of avera. Why don't you say the simple reason like the Yerushalmi says, mitzvah of avera? This is Tosis Kasha. And Rabbi Kiva Eger goes on to add more questions. Why do we have this drasha and that? Why don't you just say simply, all over the place, mitzvah of avera is the easiest way out of everything. Easiest way to explain. What you see from Tosis Kasha is that clearly he's understanding that mitzvah of avera is a disqualifying factor midaraisa. Right? Because Tosis wants to know, why does the Gemara have to come with a drasha to tell me why the lulav is disqualified? Why does the Gemara have to come with a drasha to tell me why the matzah is out? I have the principle of mitzvah baba avera. Well, the answer is, are you disqualified midaraisa or are you disqualified midarabanan? So if you say mitzvah baba avera is daraisa, then Tosis' question is a good question. It makes sense. He wants to know, if we have a principle midaraisa already, that mitzvah baba avera, your mitzvah is out, why do we need to come with a new pasuk? But if midaraisa, we don't even have this principle of mitzvah baba avera, then of course I need to learn out from Sukkim why matzah is out and why lulav is out and all these different things. Mitzvah baba avera wouldn't suffice. So you see from the Balei HaTosas that obviously this is a din d'araisa. On the other hand, Tosas himself writes in Maseches Sukkah Daf Tes, why do we need a pasuk to tell me that Sukkah Gzula cannot be used for the mitzvah of Sukkah on Sukkis? So Tosas answers the question, nah, because mitzvah baba avera is only din d'rabanan. So of course we need a pasuk. So Tosas himself all of a sudden is saying the polar opposite of what he says just 25 blot later. So these are the two opinions. The Rishonim disagree as to whether or not mitzvah baba avera is a principle that finds itself having roots in a din d'araisa, or is it just a din d'rabbanan? So again, let's just keep stock of where we're going and where what we're trying to build up to. We have a Mishnah here that says if you steal a tree in somebody's field, you can't bring bikurim. Why? Because it's lacking it on mascha. The question is, why do you have to come with a new drasha? The same kasha Tosis asks on everything else in Shas. Why do you have to have the drasha by matzah? Why do you have the drasha by tzitzis? Why do you have to have by lulav and by sukkah and everything else? Why don't you say simply mitzvah baba avera? So I'm asking, why don't you say the same thing here? Why do we need a new drasha by bikurim av ashtavim miartzecha? Why don't you say simply mitzvah baba avera? Your thing is out. If you steal the tree, you're disqualified from the mitzvah of bikurim because of mitzvah baba avera. So again, if you learn like the Rishonim that mitzvah baba avera is only din d'rabbanan, so then it's not a kasha. Our Mishnah wants to tell you, you're disqualified on the level of d'araisa, you're gone. However, if you learn that mitzvah baba avera is a din d'araisa, then we have a good question. Why is it that our Mishnah doesn't give the simple reason why you cannot bring bikurim min ha-gezel because it's a mitzvah baba avera? So far so good? Yeah.
Someone brings a lulav agadol,
what
is the disqualifier here?
Is it
a mitzvah baba avera
on
the first day of Sukkis?
Yeah.
It's
a mitzvah baba avera. Yeah. It's a mitzvah baba avera saying that
he didn't use a
mitzvah.
A mitzvah, or is it a manam within that?
Like,
it's
like
he did not do the mitzvah.
Yeah.
It's assumed.
So.
What's the
What do you mean? Why would you say it's daraisa?
Yeah. We have reason to say it's...
Yeah. The Gemara learns from a pasuk. I mean, it's also very mistaber. It makes a lot of sense. What? Sure. The Gemara asks all over the place. Lama likra svaruhu. Why do I have to learn from a pasuk? We spoke about this a few weeks ago. A svara also has the status of a din daraisa sometimes. It's just as strong as learning from a pasuk itself. So it makes a lot of sense. Mitzvah baba avera is like en kateger nasa sanega, right?
Right.
Unless you stand on your head to answer every one of those questions, which Tosis does do. So okay, so now, the way to answer this question, I think, is with what my father writes in the Sefer Eretz HaTzvi. And this is something very fundamental to understand about when we're talking about mitzvah baba avera, where exactly does it apply and where does it not? Again, you have all these places where the Gemara chooses not to say mitzvah baba avera, and yet, in some cases, we do say it. So what's the guiding principle? How do we understand it? So let's begin like this. The Gemara says in Sukkah Daf Lamed Aleph, the Chachamim are of the opinion, if you steal a sukkah from somebody else, you are not allowed to use it on Sukkos. Sukkah gzula will be disqualified for the mitzvah of Sukkah. Now, the Gemara wants to know, why is this the case? Karka en an exelis. I cannot steal land from somebody else. How do I transfer ownership by stealing it from him? How did he give me... The land didn't go anywhere. If I steal your cell phone, the transfer of ownership happens because I take it from your property into mine. If you have a piece of land, how do I steal that? The Gemara assumes, karka en an exelis. You cannot steal a piece of land. And since you cannot steal a piece of land, therefore, why shouldn't the mitzvah be good? If I go and steal somebody's sukkah, it's sitting on his property. Not that you pick up the sukkah and bring it somewhere else. His sukkah is there. It's sitting on his property. I just throw him out of the sukkah, and now I sit down with my family. So why can't I be yotzei my mitzvah? What's the mitzvah above aveira there? What's the problem? Karka and nixelus. So the Gemara says, well, no, this is because the chacham are of the opinion, ein adam yotzei mitzvah sukkah besukaso shel chaveiro. This is because they're of the opinion that the sukkah doesn't belong to you. You have to have a sukkah that belongs to you, and therefore this sukkah doesn't belong to you, even though you haven't really stolen it, but it doesn't really belong to you, so therefore we assume that you would not be able to fulfill your mitzvah. Ask the Ritva a very simple question. You can say whatever you want. Karka in nixelus, karka is nixelus. You could steal land, you can't steal land. What are you getting fancy on me? Did you do the right thing? Is that nice? Sukkah's night, the guy's sitting down with his family. He has all his gold and silver in the sukkah. All of a sudden, you make a bang on the table. You say, hey guys, out of here, I'm stealing your sukkah. What do you mean? So you say, it is gzela, it's not gzela. You're not doing the right thing. You're doing an aveira. Whatever you'll say, lo sonu isha samiso, come up with a new aveira. It's a mitzvah of aveira. Simple. Why do you have to come with a new reason? Say simple. The reason why. Hatokev sukaso shavera. You throw someone out of the sukkah, and now you sit down in his place. Why are you not making the mitzvah of sukkah? Because it's a mitzvah of aveira. What do you have to come up with new fancy reasons? Because sukkah she'ula, you can't be yotzei with someone else's sukkah. Say very simple. Because it's a mitzvah of aveira. Answers the Ritva as follows. Let's read the following. The Ritva gives an answer which is very ambiguous. It's not clear. So my father writes here that Rav Soloveitchik said in the name of Rav Chaim to explain what the Ritva means. That what is the guiding principle? When do we assume mitzvah of aveira applies? And when do we assume that we cannot apply this principle? So my father writes the following. The chazinan mikan, we see from here, hagdara muchudeshes bedin mitzvah ba'aveira. Chaim proved from this ritva that you see something that we wouldn't have thought of otherwise. You cannot just apply mitzvah ba'aveira universally to every mitzvah and every scenario. It's not true. De'eno atzalomar sha'ayado aveira, sha'ayadeha aveira hudinis apshara etzloha mitzvah. It doesn't mean that any time your mitzvah was enabled or facilitated by doing an aveira, all of a sudden it's labeled as a mitzvah of aveira. That's not what it means. That's not what it means. Dim kain af begazel karka mechavero nami nemehachi. Because in this case, when I bang on the table, I throw someone out of their sukkah, even though technically, lahalacha, the sukkah doesn't belong to me, I haven't really become a gazlan, but my whole sitting in the sukkah came about by doing something which was an aveira. I wasn't allowed to what I did. Right? So if the understanding in mitzvah baba aveira is that any time I do something wrong, all of a sudden it becomes a mitzvah baba aveira, then this case should fall under that category. But that's not what it means. Explains Reb Chaim the following. Ela hagdaras din zehu. How do we understand the halacha of mitzvah baba aveira? Deheicha de'aver aveira. Whenever I perform an aveira, va'ayidei ha'aveira shalom. And through the activity of the aveira that I'm doing, chal shem aveira al eza cheftza, something now changes in the status of the item that I was using to do my aveira. For example, I serve avodah zarah, now this tree becomes not just a tree. The tree is now avodah zarah tree. The whole status of the tree changed. I steal something from somebody. This is no longer just a cell phone when I pull it out of your hands. Now it is a chefetz ha-nigzel. It's something that I stole from you, and it's something that I had an obligation to give back. The shem chefza changes by the activity that I did. Take for example. So that those are the only times that Rav Chaim said we can apply the principle of mitzvah baba aveira. If you steal a tangible, a movable, portable item from someone, and now you want to use that, this now has a shem chefza shel iser. This now has a shem chefetz ha-gozel. So we assume you cannot use that later on to be mekayim your mitzvah. However, take for example, what if somebody Pesach night realizes they don't have matzah? In this community, there's no Erev, let's say. So I go to a mile away, I walk down to somebody else who lives a mile away from me, I take matzahs from his house, he says, sure, you can take them. I walk through the Rishus HaRabim, violating an Isur Daraisa every minute that I walk through the Rishus HaRabim to use the matzahs. I'm sorry, it's Yantiv. So let's say it's Shabbos. Shabbos Yantif, right? So I'm not allowed to carry outside without an Erev, and I carry outside the matzahs, and now I sit down Pesach night and I eat the matzahs. What will you say? Why you have to the mitzvah matzah? Mitzvah baba avera. So that's what Reb Chaim says. It's not that every time I do something wrong, now automatically it now becomes a mitzvah baba avera. No, it's only if by doing the something wrong, the status of the item has now changed to become something else. Or you take, for example, the Yerushalmi writes the following. What if I, Rahman al-Islam, God forbid, I lose a relative on Shabbos? So we know one has to rip Kriya on the occasion of losing a close relative. So what if I go and rip Kriya on Shabbos? So do I have to say, well, you better rip Kriya again on Sunday because mitzvah baba avera, you have a mitzvah of Kriya. That's something that everybody who loses a relative must do. And now you didn't fulfill your obligation because it was a mitzvah baba avera. You violated Shabbos as you went ahead and ripped Kriya for the relative that you lost. Mitzvah baba avera, it's disqualified, it's out. Answer is no. Says the Rishalmi, no. Ask the Rishalmi, why is that different than stealing matzah? The Yushalmi asked this question. Why is that different than stealing matzah? Pesach night, I realize I don't have matzah. I go into my neighbor's house, steal a box of matzahs, take it into mine. How come I don't perform my mitzvah there? It's a mitzvah baba avera. Whereas over here, I go and I rip the shirt on Shabbos, on Mechal Shabbos, as I'm going ahead and performing my mitzvah. How come that will also not be the same thing? So what's the answer? Because when I go ahead and rip a shirt on Shabbos, nothing changes about that shirt. It's still the same shirt. I have to do some tshuva for the avera that I now did, that I violated. But it's not that the shirt changes into anything else. The shirt doesn't become a chepza shel avera. And since that's the case, therefore we assume that mitzvah baba avera would not apply in that kind of scenario. Again, basically the principle that Reb Chaim tells us is, it's not that every time your mitzvah is facilitated, is brought about through some sort of avera that you may have transgressed, that doesn't mean automatically it turns into a mitzvah baba avera. All we mean here is when the avera that you did now has turned the chefza into something different than it was before, that cannot be used now for a mitzvah. That's an awful item to use. How can you use the piece of avera zara that you're holding in your hand? It's not a piece of lulav. This is a piece of avera zara. That cannot be used. That's like enka teger nasa saneger. And therefore we assume only in cases like that is the principle of mitzvah baba avera limited to a story like that. Okay, so now let's come back to our Mishnah. Now that we know this Reb Chaim. So how do we explain our Mishnah? Again, the question was, if you assume mitzvah baba avera is a principle midaraisa, that it disqualifies any mitzvah that you do, which is, you steal something from somebody else, you cannot use it for the mitzvah of lulav, mitzvah baba avera. So why shouldn't we say the same over here? You steal a tree from somebody else, we should say that that is now disqualified because it's a mitzvah baba avera. Why do we need a new drasha in our pasuk of Asher Tavi Me'artzecha? What's the answer? It's very simple. Karkein and Igzelis. Karkein and Igzelis. Based on what my father writes from Reb Chaim, that's the answer here. You cannot steal the tree from somebody else. There's no such thing. If I go into your property and I plant a tree, I haven't stolen your property from you. Karkein and Igzelis. I didn't go anywhere with it. And in fact, the halacha is Yor the Toch Shnei Chaver Vishbicha. Let's say I go one day into your property, I start planting trees all over the place. And they end up growing very nicely. So again, if I go into your property and I ruin the property, I have to pay you. But if I go into your property and I bring up the value of your property, you have to pay me, even though you didn't ask me to do it. You have to pay me. Which means that when I plant a tree in your property, it belongs to me. It's not that I've stolen your property. It belongs to me. You have to pay me for the fruits that are going to come out. So that's what I thought. Over here, you're asking. You go and you steal a tree from somebody else. And now you want to bring bikurim from that tree. Well, isn't that a mitzvah baba avera? What's the answer? No, that's not a chefetz of something that was guzzled. There's no mitzvah beheshev esagzela now on that tree. You did the wrong thing. The only way you came about doing that mitzvah is by stealing somebody else's property. But that's synonymous to the case of carrying matzah through the Rishus HaRabim in order to fulfill your obligation of matzah on Pesach night. Yes, an avera facilitated your mitzvah, but the way Reb Chaim taught us to understand the idea of mitzvah baba avera, what we learned from that is that not every time you're facilitated by some sort of avera, not every time you have a case like that that we assume, it falls under the category of mitzvah baba avera. Any questions? The Raisa level, yeah, like Tosa says, yeah. Okay, is that clear? I think it's a good shot in the Mishnah. I think what would come out of it is that if you say that, let's say I go into my friend's field and he did everything, he planted the tree, and now I go and I steal the actual fruits from his tree and I bring those to the Beis HaMikdash, what would he say in a case like that? That's a mitzvah baba avera. That's a mitzvah baba aver. Now, anyone agrees with what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Anyone following?
Does it disqualify a tree for the future or just the fruit?
Does it disqualify the tree for the future or just the fruit? Which means?
If you stole the fruit from the tree, mm-hmm. what we said earlier
right.
is that it's not the avera that you did, but the item itself.
Right. So the fruits now are considered that item, but the tree is still the tree? Yeah. Now again, I asked my father today, I told him this chiddush, he liked it, he thought it was a good pshat, thought it was a little too fancy, but it was a good pshat anyway. So I told him that I thought the Minchas Chinuch seems to go against a little bit what Rav Chaim teaches us here. Because the Minchas Chinuch asks a very obvious question. Just before we get there, there's another Minchas Chinuch, where my father once told me that Rav Salavechik didn't like the Minchas Chinuch's question. Let's say we have a Gemara, if you have a Bris Milah that falls out the Yom HaShmini is on Shabbos, if the 8th day is on Shabbos, obviously we perform the Bris Milah. How do we know? Pasuk says, by Yom HaShmini, Yimal B'sar Loso, Afila B'Shabbos, by Yom HaShmini, Afila B'Shabbos. What if it's a Milah Shalom B'Smana, meaning the kid was yellow, he wasn't feeling well. Now the day that he gets better happens to be Shabbos, we assume a Bris Milah is not allowed to be performed in a case like that. So the Minchas Chinuch has the question, what happens if you have somebody who mistakenly does a bris milah, shalob izmana, that they weren't supposed to do, they do it on Shabbos. So he says, the mitzvah baba avera. So why do we assume that you don't have to go do hatafas dam bris later? Why are you making the mitzvah of bris milah? That's the question of the Minchas Chinuch. So my father said there, Rav Salavechik, Tainit and Shir, that once you understand this idea of Rav Chaim, it's so clear. Of course it's not a question. Yeah, you were Mechal Shabbos, you did something wrong, but it's not that this kid now becomes Mr. Chilo Shabbos. Nothing changes about the kid. You violated an avera. A mitzvah came about because of the avera that you violated, but it's not that any status changes of this child, and therefore Rav Salavechik rejected the question of the Minchas Chinuch in the first place. I found another Minchas Chinuch which seems to go against this Rav Chaim, not just the Bris Milah one, but over here, we don't have enough time to read it inside, you can read it later. In Mitzvah Aleph, the very first mitzvah, the Minchas Chinuch has the following discussion. We have a mitzvah Aleph in the Torah is Puravu Milas Aretz. You have an obligation to have children. So what kind of children are considered children? So that's the Gemara's question. This is a major discussion in Yevamos. Exactly what do I have to do to fulfill my obligation? Do I need to have boys? Do I need to have girls? Now what happens if I give birth to a mamzer? So what would he say? Now how do you give birth to a mamzer? Well, there's two ways. Right, so either I'm a mamzer and I marry a mamzeres, so in a case like that, of course, I fulfill my obligation, there's nothing wrong. But if I'm a regular Jewish person that is not a mamzer, I'm not allowed to marry one of these people, or I'm not allowed to marry whoever it is that brings about a mamzeres into the world. The Shulchan Aruch says, even if you give birth to a mamzer, you have fulfilled your obligation of pururavu. Ask the Minchas Chinuch, how can you fulfill your obligation of pururavu? Isn't that a mitzvah baba aveira? Look what you've done. Mitzvah baba avera. You had some sort of illicit relationship which brought about the birth of a mamzer. Now you're going to tell me that the birth of a mamzer is going to be able to take care of your mitzvah puru revu? How can that be? Doesn't that go against the principle of mitzvah baba avera? I thought the answer should be, according to Rav Chaim, simple. Change the status. You just gave birth to a kid who's going to be branded as a mamzer forever. That's the classic case of mitzvah baba avera. Right? No? What?
He was never a regular person. He was always a mamzer, right? So how does that change?
Was
he
he was a mamzer.
Ah, you're saying he never had anything?
Yeah, it's not like
a mamzer. I don't know. So the Minchas Chinuch goes into a whole discussion, a fancy discussion, to explain, no, because over here the avera happens at one time, the birth happens later. That touches on what somebody else mentioned before. Does it have to happen at the same time? You'll read the Minchas Chinuch, where he tries to get into that. It's fancy, but I'm just wondering, how does that play into this discussion here? You're changing by the avera that you did, you're changing what should be the normal status of a child. You're saying you're not changing, this is what he is. I don't know, this is what to think about. Anyway, so this is with regard to mitzvah baba avera. I think in general, when we talk about mitzvah baba avera, this is a concept that's been expanded by many achronim in other directions as well. Let's look at the Ramchal in the Mesilas Yesharim, a little bit lighter, for after a heavy shiur, a little bit lighter. The Mesilas Yesharim writes something that's a very important principle to keep in mind. Amru Chazal, says the Mesilas Yesharim, Kasha gezel hedyot mi gezel gavoa. Stealing from a human being is worse than stealing from God himself. Apachu es hapolim, in fact, says the Mesilas Yesharim, the Gemara tells us that a worker is exempt. Ha'osim etzav balabai is when you're doing work by your employer. Mibirchas ha'motzi mibirchas ha'choronos debirchas ha'mazon. The Gemara says, strictly speaking, you don't have to daven, you don't have to bench, the whole benching, because it's going to take away from the time that you owe to the person who's paying you to work for them. We are told that if you have a boss and you have to be at work at 5 o'clock in the morning, so we assume you don't even have an obligation to daven, only the first parasha of Kriyashma. If the Gemara says that you're not even obligated to daven as not to steal time, so to speak, from your employer, then certainly the divrei harishus, certainly to surf the internet during work, right? Certainly to do other things. Now, again, if it's built in that every owner of a business understands that there's going to be half an hour out of every hour that they're going to be wasting time surfing the internet, okay. But assuming that that's not what the employer wants, so then this is something that he says is something we need to think about. Shekol schir yom aser behem shelo levatol milachto shel bal habayis. You're hired to do a job. It means that you're hired to do the job for the entire duration of the extension of the day that you're expected to be there. Vim avar, and if you violate what the understanding of the boss is, hareza gazlan. Hine abba chilkia, he quotes the Gemara in Tainus Daf Chav Gimel. Afilu shalom lo heshev l'tamina chacham shenasin lo shalom. When there was a Talmud Chacham who came into the room and said, hello abba chilkia, he wouldn't even answer him because he thought that that was taking away from his attention that he's supposed to have to the job that he's asked to do. Shalalibatam imelachas re'eo, v'yakov avinu. And Yaakov Avinu says also that he worked as hard as he can. Ma'yanu eifo ha'oskim ha'ana oseim b'shas melachu b'telem imena. Ask the Messiah Sasharim, what are we going to say? We're hired by an employer, and we're sitting and wasting time and doing whatever we're doing instead of doing the work. Oki yasku b'chavtseim ishlevitzo. Everyone's going surfing their own internet sites, everyone's doing their own jobs, everyone's doing whatever they need to do, ordering shoes, ordering clothing, and it's not on your time. This time doesn't belong to you. Says the Mesilas Yesharim, Klalo Shodavar, the rule is, Hasachar Eitzel Chaveru Le'eza Melacha Shatiyah. If you have been hired to do a particular job, Hine Kol Sha'osa Mechuras Hei Lo Liyomo. It's as if you have sold that person all of your waking hours that you're expected to be in his place. Kein and Sha'amru, like they say in Bab Metziah Daf Nun Vav, Schirus, what's the understanding when somebody hires me? What exactly does it mean? What's the halachic concept? So the answer that the Gemara gives is Mechira Liyome. It's as if I've been sold to the person for the day. If I'm hired by that person to be whatever it is, it's as if I'm sold to them. We have a cleaning lady who comes to the house. She does not hold her cell phone on her. She leaves it on the kitchen table. And I always tell her, your phone's ringing. Okay, I'll get it later. I'm very impressed. That's a very honest woman. No? How many of us would do that? But that's a very honest person. V'kol ma sheikach mehem la'anos atzma be'eza ofen sheyeh. Anyone who chooses to take of the time from the Baal HaBayis and use it for yourself, eino ela gezel gomer. Vim lo machalo. And if the Baal HaBayis, if the owner doesn't have some sort of understanding with you that this is okay, eino machal. Shekvar amru rabbeseinu averu sheben adam lachaveru, ein yom kippur mechaper ad sheiratzes chaveru. V'lo od. Ela sha'afilu im osam mitzvah bezman malachto. I'm not just surfing the internet. Come on, I have a kosher phone. I don't even have the internet. My business knows that the people are going to be surfing, so they shut off the internet. So what do? I go to the Daf Yomi Shir, or I tell them I got a Daven Mincha. So I go to the Minyan, take a 45-minute break. I go to Daven Mincha to learn the Daf, have a coffee, call in. You know, I used to have somebody, when I was in the White Shul, I used to give a conference call every Thursday on the Parsha, 15 minutes during lunchtime, from 12 to 12:15. It was great. So I got a call once from a person who owned a business and said that all the secretaries in her office were stopping at 12 o'clock every Thursday to call in. She said, I'm not mochel you, I'm sorry, you're not allowed to do this. Now, I don't think it was right of her to call me and complain why I was doing it. Tell your women in the office they don't have a right to call. Okay, but I think she's correct in the fact that I'm running a doctor's office. I can't just have all the secretaries at 12 o'clock for 15 minutes calling into a shir on the phone. It's very nice that they have an idea that they want to do a mitzvah they want to learn, but now is not the time. Exactly. Listen to it online. But they don't have the internet. V'lo'od. Ela sha'afilu masa mitzvah bezman malachto. You see what happens when you don't have the internet? V'lo'od ela sha'afilu masa mitzvah bezman malachto. Says the Mesilas Yesharim. Even if you're trying to do a mitzvah at the time that you're supposed to be working for your employer. Lo litztakate chashav lo. You're not going to get points for that. Ela aveira hi biyado, says the Mesilas Yesharim. She'en aveira mitzvah. Ukrak siv sone gelza ba'olo. Ki'inin sha'amru. as we just said over here in our whole shir, en kategor nasa saneger and mitzvah rabba avera. That's what he picks up on. Basically, he finishes off the paragraph bringing all the psukim that the Gemara has about mitzvah rabba avera. Says the Mesilas Yesharim, if you choose to take from your precious time that's being spent working, that's supposed to be spent working, and you go and do your own things, that's a halbitzar. But to go ahead and do a dvar mitzvah because you think that you're allowed to cheat the business by doing a dvar mitzvah in the middle of work, that's something that you have no right to do, and that would be a mitzvah ba'ba avera, which would not, again, according to Rav Chaim, it wouldn't fit into the category of mitzvah ba'ba avera, right? The chetz of the Torah that you learn doesn't change. But still, that's what the Mesilas Yesharim extends. In fact, the Beis Halevi writes in a Sefer on Chumash, why is it that Parshas Truma comes immediately following Parshas Mishpatim? Says the Beis Halevi, the reason why is because when we're trying to collect money for a building for the Beis HaMikdash, for the Beis HaKnesses, the Beis HaLevi says that we have to be careful that we know all the laws of Mishpatim first. What money really is deserving to us, and what are we allowed to contribute to the shul, and what money really is not rightfully ours. And if we don't know that, that's something that we're not allowed to offer to the Beis HaMikdash. It's very nice that you want to give a donation to the shul, but if you stole the money in order to donate the building to the shul, that's something that we don't consider to be a big mitzvah. That's something that's considered a big aver. Let's just close with one final very important shuva by Rav Moshe Feinstein. We're going to read the whole thing because it's really, really beautiful the way he writes it. And it's relevant. Unfortunately, now we have so many stories where Orthodox Jews are being caught with doing all kinds of these shtick. And obviously it was going on in the days of Rav Moshe as well, 35, 40 years ago. So it's not a bad idea to review it for ourselves. Says Rav Moshe, "Be'isur lemostos ha-Torah likach meha-memshala yoser mekefi ha-tnayim shekava." The lunch programs. So you're right that I have 1,000 students in the school. Meanwhile, I only have 500 students in the school. And the day that they do an inspection, we bring in all the 3-year-olds and the 4-year-olds that aren't in the school, and we pack up the school. We've all heard about this. And we make it as if we have 1,000 students. Hinei b'davar inyanei ha-chesed. So first Rav Moshe goes, so beautiful how he sets this up. He says, number one, let's first appreciate how great Arka is. That's what he writes. Hine b'dvar inyanei ha-chesed asher ha-memshala shalanu artes ha-brisha ba-America asher Hashem Yisbarach b'rachamav ha-merubim, that God in His unbelievable kindness al-she'eris ha-pleita has had so much compassion on those who were left mi-Yehudei kol medinos Europa, that He had compassion, He had mercy on all those who were lucky enough to survive from Europe, u-she'eris gedoli ha-torah v'talmideim, and He had mercy on those talmidei chachamim who were lucky enough to get out and weren't killed. Hevi'u lekan, He was merciful enough to bring us here. V'nosdu mekamas ha-Torah, yeshenim shemi'yurup v'gam chadashim, and they reestablished the yeshivas that they had both in Europe, and we built, look how many new yeshivas we have, look how many new schools we have. V'ayudei shemalchu shel chesedzu, and because we live in such a kind and compassionate country that has freedom of religion, shekalma tarasa, the idea that this country stands for is lehetiv l'chol toshvei ha-medina, ha-metziya kama inyanim shel, you know what that is?
Programs.
Right? So our government is so kind to us, and therefore they have all sorts of programs that they want to benefit our lives here. Says Rav Moshe, understand the kind of lives that we're living. Shebechol bati ha-sefer, they want to help all of our schools. Shebe-medina shi-yichlo lumod u-lizgada b'limudam. They don't believe in the Torah that we believe in, but they want that we should be happy citizens. So they're willing to provide. Shegam mostas ha-Torah yesh lahem ha-zara gedol ha-tamideyem. Vadai kol rashi yeshivas ha-menalim ha-tamideyem ha-kirim mechal tovas ha-medina. Certainly, I'm not so sure that this is true, but Rav Moshe is assuming, he's such a tzaddik, Rav Moshe is assuming that certainly all the leaders of the school get up every day and understand and value how great the Medinas America actually is. Not sure, but okay. I'm sure that it's great. I'm not sure that we all recognize it. What? Yeah, they say the greatest supporters of Torah in the world are the Israeli government, and yet they hate the government. I don't know, go explain it. B'chol tovas ha-medina, mevarchem l'shlom ha-medina. Certainly, says Rav Moshe, they're making a tefillah for the shlom ha-medina that's so kind to them. U'l'chol ha'om d'merosha b'chol ha-brachas. So now, says Rav Moshe, now that we got that out of the way, and that's a given, and everybody knows that we love the country that we live in, and we're so thankful, and we daven for their success, and we recognize how powerful and how helpful they are, now let's move on to the shaila. Aval vaday, anachnu muzhar me'ashem yizbarach shatzivana b'tarasa ha-kdosha. You can't take advantage of the system. If the government is kind to you and says that you're allowed to take this amount for whatever amount of students you have, that's the ratio. You cannot take more, you can't take advantage. We have some police officers that we may have bribed. Just for example. That's exactly what Moshe says. We have some pekidim, we have some people in the government that like us. So they're willing to say, okay, so you sign off for 1,000 lunches instead of 500. Okay, it's fine, we're friends anyway, no big deal. Says Rav Moshe, Kol Shekein, not only is that not allowed, but Kol Shekein She'asa L'Shaker. Certainly, if now that we've been caught, and we shouldn't have done that in the first place, to bribe off the policemen to give us whatever we want, but certainly to lie to them in the first place, B'mispar HaTalmidim U'chadama, to tell them a false number of students that we have in the school, Shelevachu Isser Gezel, forgetting about the fact that you're stealing from the country and the government, Hare Ikabazeh Gami Surim HaGadolim She'amir Shkar Muchzabim U'gnev Asdas, forget about the fact that you're lying and stealing and cheating, Kam Chilul Hashem B'Zayin HaTorah V'lam Deah, the whole story is ultimately going to be uncovered. What a Chilul Hashem B'Zayin HaTorah, Ein Bazeh Shum HaRas Heter Ba'olam, there is absolutely no reason to allow this for anyone. U'kamosha HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sone Gezel Ba'olam, the same way the Ribbono Shel Olam hates when we steal things and use it for a mitzvah item, Kein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sone B'tmichas HaTorah V'lam Deha Ayidei Gezel. So too says Rav Moshe. God hates when you steal in order to support the Torah. And don't hide behind the Torah to say, oh, well, I'm only stealing because I want to dedicate the building. And I'm only signing off on the lunch program because, well, otherwise we're not going to have a school. Okay, so you want to have a school. So you want to have a school. The Ikav is a gam mishim rodev is gedoli ha-Torah v'talmideyem. He says, here I am, a Rosh Hashiva, Rav Moshe, and I'm running a yeshiva, and I don't know anything about what they're signing off in the office. Then ultimately, when they're going to uncover the scandal, they're going to say, oh, look at this guy, he's the Rosh Hashiva, what kind of dishonest person is he? Meanwhile, I didn't know anything about it, I'm not really responsible, but I am responsible because I'm at the head of the yeshiva. So Rav Moshe says, forgetting about the gezel, the sheker, the everything else, the chil Hashem, you're also throwing the rabbanim down the dumps. Because they're ultimately going to be responsible, even though I had nothing to do with them. Va'af shechas v'shalom. Again, Rav Moshe the tzaddik. Va'af shechas v'shalom lo nechshedu rashi yeshivas v'amenalim. Shem yirei shemayim. We would never imagine that a rav or a rosh yeshiva would ever steal money and sign off of such a thing. Come on, no such thing. Labar al yisuri gezel v'irmei sheker v'chazav v'gnevas das v'la al dinah d'machusa b'shem haraz heter v'olam. You know, this reminds me. My father said, Rabbi Willick told me that this was my father's first entry into Tzarchei Tzibur. Outside of learning Torah, this was my father's first entry. It was like the craziest story that ever happened in New York City. Crazy. Rabbi Willig described me all the details of the story. My father doesn't even like to talk about it. Some guy who claimed he had Nevuah. He moved here from Eretz Yisrael, and he was totally convincing girls in Stern College that he was a Navi, and Mashiach's only going to come if he lives with them. Crazy, crazy story. He had all these people under his spell. And my father said, we got to do something about it. He was printing Svarim, and Rav Moshe gave him Haskama to a safer or something. So Rav Moshe decided, my father said, we got to go talk to Rav Moshe about it. So my father made an appointment with Rav Moshe one day. And they went to speak to him. Rabbi Willig, I think, was much younger, but he went along also. And somebody else, an older Rav, went along. And they were talking and talking, explaining the whole story to Rav Moshe. And Rav Moshe just said, like, he couldn't even grasp that it was possible. He was such a tzaddik, he couldn't understand. Like, how could it be this guy's writing Svarim, and I'm giving him a Haskama, and his Svarim are pretty good. How could it be that, like, he's doing this on the side? He just couldn't understand. The Rav Moshe finally told him, I don't know, go to Rav Yaakov, speak to him, he'll understand the problem. So they did. They went to Rav Yaakov. In the end, the guy was arrested for other things. They got him caught on a tax fraud. They got him arrested for other things. That was the end of him. But basically, what my father proves from the story was that Rav Moshe was such a tzaddik, and sometimes you see it in his writing. Over here he says, Chas v'shalom, who would ever imagine that the head of a yeshiva would really be involved in such a scandal? It can't be. What do you mean? He's going to sign off on a lunch program? Who would ever do such a thing? I know a few people who would do such things. So Rav Moshe says, Ki yodim echomer isurim. What do you mean? The head of the yeshiva knows how serious the isur is. And me'on she'shamayim hagdolim v'zeh v'ba. You know how serious an aver it is in this world and in the next world. It's not worth it, of course you know. And you as the Rosh Yeshiva know that this is against everything your yeshiva is supposed to stand for. And what are you teaching the students? What kind of values are you giving them? Even though that's true, that nobody would ever think of doing such a thing. Maybe I have to mention the point because maybe it will happen, says Rav Moshe. Kedei lashgiach biyoser gam al hamisnadvim, says our Moshe. Not only do we have to be concerned that we, as the heads of institutions, shouldn't sign off on such a thing, but we should be looking into the money that we accept from people also. If they're dishonest people, we shouldn't be taking their money. Shemeviim nidvaseim lachzakas haTorah, shelo yigrimu gezel vehefsid mamon lahamadina shelo kedine haTorah. If you have somebody who's involved in tax evasions, somebody who's involved in all kinds of things, says our Moshe, we shouldn't be accepting their money. Shelo yikashlu av shalomi das bechatam agdolim ha'elu. Even though you might not be aware, but you should be looking into it, says our Moshe. Ulechal hanizharim biyoser, tava aleim birchas haTorah v'yatzlichu b'smostos haTorah laharbus talmidim yirishamayim, ashu bracha gedola gam lahamadina. Says our Moshe, that the greatest thing you can do is to make sure to be as honest as possible, is to make sure to look into everything carefully, and to make sure never to accept money that's questionable money. Kashiyadum ufursam lechal asher talmidi ha'yeshivas, heima mechubarim baruch Hashem meha ezrachim bimedinoseim v'maseim hatov v'Moshe Feinstein. So he signs off and he says, Mitzvah Vaba Avera is something that we apply not only to the cases that the Gemara says are strict cases of Mitzvah Vaba Avera, for Moshe says, Ani Hashem Sona Geza Ba'ola is something that we need to take into consideration in other aspects of life as well. And Gezel is something we have to be extremely careful about. And Ramosha says, even sometimes when we have the best of intentions, like the Mesilas Yesharim told us, even when I'm taking off of work to go learn the Daf Yomi or to go to a minyan more than I should have, more than the expected amount of time that I'm allotted, that's something that would also fall under the category of a bona fide mitzvah baba avera, and it's something we should try to...